Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
I'm alive!
Yay! I'm happy you're alive.
Yeah, me too.
You were not doing great.
No, well, yeah. It's funny. Summer, you're off in the summertime, yeah. But it seems like it's busier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just because it's, like, less routine, I think.
Yes, less routine. That is the problem.
And so it's more chaos.
But then, yes, I was also fairly sick last week.
Brandon, and I made a joke that you must have made a deal with Ursula because you didn't have a voice for, like, days.
I was talking like this. So we kept putting it off and putting it off. And instead, we're just going to record a double episode this week.
Yeah, that's the bonus to make up for us being gone is two episodes back to back.
Yay! Dun, dun, dun.
We'll be back. Well, Brandon, what are we talking about for episode one this week?
Well, for the first part of the doubleheader.
Yeah.
That's also a good summer thing because it's like goes along with baseball. Yeah, that's they do right. Doubleheaders in baseball
Let's
in the summertime.
This was totally a planned thing.
Sure.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Ms. Marvel.
Ooh, yes.
I'm actually kind of surprised that we're talking about Ms. Marvel.
Oh.
I know we planned to.
Yeah.
But when this series was announced and when it was coming up, I didn't think it would be something that we'd want to spend an episode on, but I absolutely
we can, like,
do.
Mention it in the news or something, whatever.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And how about, do you have a nerd thing this week?
Yeah, I do.
Don't forget we need another one for the next episode. So don't expand and use all of your nerd.
Okay, I'll just use one nerd thing.
There you go.
But it was a really big nerd thing. We went to go see Hamilton.
We did. Live and in person.
Yes.
After having seen it 1,700 times.
At least.
On Disney Plus.
Yeah. So Broadway Across Canada is the touring company, and apparently they only did four cities in Canada, but one is a very close, fairly close major city to us. Close by Canada standards, anyway.
Yeah, Calgary.
Calgary, yeah. And so we went to go see it, and it was awesome, and literally the best seats I've ever had for a performance there. And it was just, it was just fantastic. And, yeah, you can check out Instagram that I posted in the stories and whatnot about our adventures going to go do that.
It was fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, that was pretty nerdy.
I was really happy and shed a tear or two.
But. Oh.
Be surprised.
Yeah, no. Figured it was coming, but that's good.
What's your nerd thing?
I mean, I went to Hamilton, too. I was invited. I bought the
ticket. You bought the ticket. My students, when you bought the tickets, you messaged me while I was at work, and I happened to be teaching my creative writing class where we watched Hamilton, and they were all, like, obsessed with it. They either decided they hated us because we were going out of jealousy, or they, like, absolutely thought you were the most wonderful human being on the planet because
I bought
you bought Hamilton tickets. So there's a lot of jealousy going on, basically.
Yes, it's just nice to be able to go to live theater again.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool.
We've always been into live theater.
Mm-hmm.
Theater. And, yeah, haven't been able to do that for a couple years. Why would happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
So, and especially this one being the first one back was really cool.
It's just another tick box on the way till normalcy.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Of some kind,
yeah, whatever that looks like. Also, Brandon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking coffee because it is morning time.
Yep.
I was going to say early morning time, but it's no longer early morning time.
No.
We're kind of lollygagging.
Yeah.
It's a holiday, so.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Okay, so let's also say it's Monday here, August 1st, which is a holiday in Canada. It's a civic holiday, and so you're off, and I'm editing podcasts today.
Yeah, I always find this holiday funny because it's like, What's the holiday for? I don't know.
August.
they just decided we didn't have a holiday in August, so
it's our civic holiday.
Civic duty to have a holiday. Try to explain that to American listeners.
Yeah, I was explaining to you how I was listening to a YouTube streamer, and there was a British streamer, and she was trying to explain what a bank holiday was. It's, you know, it's the same for us. It's an official holiday, and yeah, we just got one in August because we didn't have one in August. And it's just listed as civic holiday.
I'm good with that.
Me too. Yeah. So you're drinking coffee. I'm drinking coffee as well.
Delicious.
What?
Good start to the day. So, since we're doing a double episode, I think I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
Sounds good.
Basically, looking forward to the next Marvel show.
Yeah, yeah. We have She-Hulk coming up.
Yeah, it's now August, so She-Hulk's coming up.
Around the corner. That's exciting.
It is exciting.
And we saw a little bit more of She-Hulk at San Diego Comic-Con. Clips.
Yes, that was kind of my nerd thing. We watched a live stream that watched the news feed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, Comic-Con was in person again this mm-hmm. year, and they didn't stream almost anything like they had in previous years. Like, they went full in-person, exclusive, nothing. So it was kind of sucky for us, but yeah. That's going to be our second
episode. Yeah, we kind of figure our next episode is going to really focus on all that news.
We're going to catch up on... It's going to be a news catch-up, but especially Comic-Con, because...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Boy, howdy!
Howdy's right. But yeah, that's just... With She-Hulk coming around the corner, I said we did get some more info on that. And yeah, that's the next Marvel thing coming up, so... And we also have a Star Wars thing coming up in August, too.
Yes. Yes, we do. And but,
All right. So let's just skip on past the news then, hey?
Yeah, no news. Next episode's going to be lots of news, now, so...
right into the main topic.
The good old main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
Ms. Marvel. So you said to begin with that when it first came out, you're surprised we're even spending an episode on it, let alone that we've been, like, touting its awesomeness for the last several weeks.
Yeah, so it is crazy. This series was like below, like order of magnitude below on the hype meter for me.
Yeah.
Every other Marvel series that had been announced or had come out.
So when they first started announcing them, this was kind of like the last, you know, you had your first, like Falcon Winter Soldier and WandaVision and Loki and all of those ones. And then this was like.
It was announced after.
It was announced after, but it was still, like, part of the initial, like, whoa, my goodness, look at all these Marvel shows coming.
It was announced at the same time as Armor Wars, I think, wasn't
it? Oh, no, I think we just got more information about it that time.
Apparently it's still happening. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
anyway, but I agree. Like, there were a few that I was, like, in on, like, Hawkeye. I was like, whatever. Falcon Winter Soldier was, like, whatever. Like, cool, I'm looking forward to it, but, like, not, oh, my God, excited. And this was... Not even there.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier was early enough that I was like, oh, it's cool, we're getting a show. And then, like, Hawkeye was far enough away, I was like, eh, that's kind of lame. And
yeah, I liked them both.
But, like, excitement beforehand. Yeah. And I was like, whatever, that's far away and that's kind of lame. And then they announced this one, I'm like, oh, I really don't care about that.
Yeah, and I thought it was more, well, it was definitely geared more for, you know, everyone in the family can watch it. And I thought it was really going to be quite juvenile.
Yeah, and they talked about it being aimed for a younger audience, but it's just good.
Yeah, good is good. So we started watching it, and we're like, yeah, we'll just watch it whenever. Like, we'll probably end up, like, I don't know, watching in a weekend or whatever. No. This was like, we need to watch the next Ms. Marvel. Like, it's out now. Let's go.
Watching it on release day every day. We even stayed up late the one time when we were heading out of town to catch it before we headed out of town. And it was only 6 episodes long, which is kind of sad.
Yep.
That seems to be the
the
general trend these days, except for some exceptions that we'll talk about next episode. Okay.
Except for those. Okay, so.
So, other than overall your thoughts of it being awesome, what are some main points you'd like to discuss?
Okay.
Before we dive into, like, the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, because we do tend to keep these pretty much overview general kind of things, but...
Oh, did we give a spoiler alert? Because we're going to talk
spoilers. Definitely. Okay, good call. Serious spoilers coming here.
Yeah.
Although, you know, this has been done a couple weeks now. We gave you another week to get caught up. What are you doing?
Not on purpose.
No. No, it wasn't on purpose. But, yeah, you didn't purposely get sick.
No, I didn't.
But it's only 6 episodes. It's really good. Go watch it. Spoiler warning, effective immediately. Okay. Without going too far into nitty-gritty, but just, like, things I want to mention. The actress who plays our lead character, Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, Iman Vellani.
Okay, good. Yes, you remember now.
Yep. Is amazing and wonderful and is, like, my new favorite actress kind of thing.
So, the MCU has been pretty lucky with casting overall. Mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, like, created the MCU.
Yeah. Because,
like, without that, you don't have the MCU. Chris Evans as Captain America was...
Oh, my goodness.
...a divisive choice at the time, but absolutely embraced the role.
Killed it, yep.
Hemsworth...
Oh, yeah.
...as Thor is, like, spot on... But I think we have the new crown champion of good casting
with
this series.
She's like, the coolest thing, though, is she is literally a comic book Marvel nerd before any of being cast.
Which works incredibly well with this because the whole character of Kamala Khan is a fangirl of the Avengers before she becomes a superhero.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it's just her.
It's the life imitating art, imitating life, and I don't think she really has to act because... She just is like Kamala Khan in real life. So it's this really fortunate circumstance and awesomeness.
Yeah, and she just... the most fun... So we watched... we've talked before about like different YouTubers we watch and things like that. And a lot are Disney Parks focused. But we have been watching over the last few months a lot of new rock stars. So shout out to new rock stars. And they do great breakdowns and things like that. And we watched one where they were actually I don't even know if you call it an interview, because I think they were just nerding out over the story, basically, with Iman Vellani. And she's like, here are my notes that I take on all of the MCU. And here's my comment.
And she was like a fan of this YouTube channel before
and
was like, geeking out that she got to be on the channel.
And he's like, but you're smart. Yeah, but you guys did that whole thing where you broke down.
Anyway, she's adorable.
She's awesome.
And I'm excited to see her continue on after this show.
Yes, because she will be continuing on after this show. We do not know, of course, if there's a Ms. Marvel 2, but we do know Ms. Marvel is going to return in the next... Well, I guess the next time we see her is the Marvels. As far as we know.
The Marvels. So,
yeah, that's her next big thing.
So our last series, Moon Knight, didn't have any significant, obvious ties to anything MCU, really.
Right.
Which is fine.
Maybe they'll show up here, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but the series was definitely standalone. This one has some threads that have big implications because we knew before it even started that she was going to be in the Marvels.
Yeah, and we knew this show was existing to introduce her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the final post credit scene, which we can just jump to right now.
Sure, we can do that. Yeah, and then let's go back to overall.
Yep, it was directed by the director of The Marvels.
Yes, yeah, it was the only part of the series that was. Yeah,
just this little tiny post credit scene that they shot at the same time they were shooting The Marvels, which is already wrapped. They're probably going to do reshoots because it's not out till next summer.
Right,
but yeah, so the. Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, shows up in this post-credit scene, and they swap places, setting up the plot for the Marvels.
Right.
Which is very interesting.
So interesting. So interesting. Actually, you know what? Let's just talk, how did they swap places? Let's do, like, a little, what the heck is going on? How does Ms. Marvel, how does this fangirl get her powers? Like, we don't need to go into, like, a crazy plot thing here, but, like, explain to me how this whole story works, because it's different.
Well,
she's
not
like born with power. She's not bitten by a spider.
in the comics, and it's interesting, comic book wise, politically, because this is a recent character. 2014 was invented during a time when Marvel didn't have the rights to a lot of their characters in other media. Like you have Spider-Man with Sony, and you had the X-Men and Fantastic Four with Fox. This was before the Disney merger. And they were writing their comic books, even though they're not linked to the movies, they were writing their comic books to forward characters that they still had the rights to that they could make money off of, which, you know, corporate synergy and stuff, that kind of makes sense. But, there was a directive to say no mutants, no more mutant comic books. We're not going to write any X-Men. We don't have the rights to them.
Right.
Too bad for them.
So we need to focus on something else.
Yes. And so they, in their back pocket, they had this other similar type of superhero team called the Inhumans, which... we've heard about a little bit more. They had that TV show a few years ago that they were, that was not very good. And, of course, there was a famous Inhuman in the Doctor Strange movie that just came out for a couple minutes.
That's kind of
kind of a mind-blowing scene there.
Oh, nice. Nice. We also saw what would be linked to with Terrigen Mist and things like that.
Yeah, and then the other big one was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. focused on the Inhumans quite a bit.
Yeah.
And one of the main characters was an Inhuman.
Yes, who I actually really liked.
Yeah. There's some rumors she might be coming back.
Fingers crossed, because I actually thought she was really cool.
I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, I do too. We still need to watch the final season, but there's
some good stuff.
That show really found its legs on its own. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
I...
Let's do an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure. That'd be fun. Yeah. Okay. Good idea. But yes, I digress. In the comics, she's Inhuman. She gets hit by... There's a terrorist thing and, like, gets hit by a Terrigen Mist and her powers show up. Whatever. That completely different in the show.
Totally
and
different.
So, yeah. MCU is going in a different direction.
Which they tend to do on occasion, but you can tell.
And it's not super clear. Her grandmother sends her this piece of jewelry that was passed down from the family.
Like
and
bangles.
Yeah, it's a big fancy bracelet and it expands and does all this stuff. But she puts it on and her eyes glow and she gets powers.
Yeah.
And it's not really super explained because this is what happens in the first episode.
Right, and she's... what also works, though, I think, with it not being super explained, I mean, we get pieces, is she doesn't know what the heck is going on. So
I'm not saying... I still have a little sickness. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It works. That
yeah, I
it's
think so.
Kind of mysterious, because, like, no, you don't need a bunch of exposition. You just, you just show it happening, and the character kind of figures it out as the audience is figuring it out. And it is mysterious.
From a writing, like, storytelling perspective, sometimes that works better as well. I mean, yes, we understand as they understand, but also, like, it allows us to have more suspension of disbelief as long as it makes sense in their realm.
Yeah, and it's fun because you have the weekly release and you have YouTubers trying to figure it all out.
It actually works so well for this kind of thing.
I am a big fan of the weekly release schedule, again.
For something like this, I am.
It allows each episode to breathe, and you can have your theories, and then they can be right or wrong, and it's just fun. Anyway, so we're still not entirely sure how it all works, but the bracelet, which may or may not be alien, or possibly Atlantean now, because they're also blue.
Yeah, they're also blue is the thing. Okay, so, we also have, let's explain the blue thing here, because we also have, we had a few flashbacks to how they get the bracelet and her family history and things like that.
Her great-grandmother finds the bracelet, and we meet the great-grandmother, and that she has her own whole story.
Right. So...
But, so where the bracelet is found is this, like, archaeological dig-looking place, and interestingly it has, a Ten Rings logo on it.
That's sure interesting.
So that's another tie to the MCU. Super interesting. But they discover it on a corpse that is buried under rubble, and all you see is the blue arm. So we don't know.
Originally, everyone was like, oh, it's Kree.
Kree. They're blue. It kind of looks alien techy, and of course, the Kree are super involved with Captain Marvel, which has big ties to Ms. Marvel. And anyway, so...
And Terrigen.
I think it's probably Kree.
Except, most likely, but now we also have other blue people.
Now we have other blue people. Who also might be linked to the Kree. You don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that's cool. We still don't know exactly how her powers work, were unlocked, where the power comes from, but she's also a mutant.
That was the big one. So, originally it seemed like because there's something in her family, like there's been ties in her family, and we find that it was her great-grandmother, her great-great-grandmother.
Her great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother.
Because, it's her grandmother is the one that's still alive, that lives in Karachi.
Who sends her the...
And it's her grandma's mother who went missing in the train station.
Okay, so we find out that, so much of Kamala's story is wrapped up in her family's, in her culture and her history.
Which is...
Fascinating.
Absolutely fascinating, and quite well done.
I thought so.
As far as I know. I didn't learn a lot about the history of India and Pakistan and all that in school or anything, so this was like a good crunch exploration of that and like how that affects the generations that are now living in North America.
Right, exactly, because... So, at one point, Kamala and her mom actually do travel back to visit her grandmother, which was really cool, and like their cousins and everything like that. So you got like a crash course in history and kind of thing. But we also have her great grandmother is not human.
No, so it's just so she's not human, but she's a human. She's at least part human because yes. her father is obviously like just
her father's a human. Normal, he's awesome.
Normal human. Yes.
He's also awesome.
He's got great dad energy.
He does.
And so yeah, you find out that like her great grandma and her great grandma's friends mm-hmm. were banished interdimensional beings.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And they say they go by many names, and one of the names is actually Jin, and which is interesting because like.
Yeah, there's a lot of mythology around that, and mm-hmm. and the, one of the, they've said so far that there's no big theme of Phase 4, but it's a lot to do with mythology and afterlives and things like that. Like,
yeah,
like big time.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So it works well with that as well.
Absolutely. So that was really cool. So she has all these things tying together, and kind of from what we understand, just from. Different feedback, and also what she herself has said, and like in that interview and things,
and like the director and producers kind of clarifying some things yeah. as well. Yeah,
it's all these things kind of working together that create this perfect storm within Kamala Khan. So she has this familial background, but it's not like at the end, her friend Bruno does say, you know,
I
like
I thought we weren't supposed to talk. Well, about
I know
him.
We keep talking about him though. Poor Bruno. he said that her brother asked him, like, to look at his DNA to be like, oh, if he had worn the bracelet, would he be the one? And it's no. There's something within her that is, like, passed down through the family, but it isn't, like, her mother didn't unlock this. There's just, like, some weird stuff with her mom and a little bit of weird stuff with her grandma, like, but it's not full-out superpowers, basically.
Yes, and...
And that is...
And then, so her love interest, or one of her love interests, she has
yes.
she has many.
She does.
It's typical young adult.
She's a teenage girl. Come on, leave her alone.
Young adult fiction. There's got to be multiple love interests.
Exactly.
But Cameron,
yes.
is also a descendant of the Jin.
Yep.
Whatever, the clandestines
yes.
or clandestines, whatever.
Clandestines, yeah.
And he ends up getting powers from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't control them as well, because, like, there's a whole different thing going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's not just straight up you're a descendant
yeah.
and that, which we kind of thought, okay, it was led to believe.
Yeah.
You are a descendant of them. She puts on this bangle, and that just kind of, like, helps unlock it or helps channel it or something like that. But no, we find out at the end, the last scene right before we go to credits, and then, of course, we have the after scene, is Bruno's kid genius also, by the way. Explains to her.
So yeah, I just before you get to that, I just want to talk about Bruno.
But we're not supposed
I
to.
Know.
Okay.
So Bruno is basically Peter Parker who didn't get bit by a spider.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we find out actually the actor actually did audition.
He was up for the role yeah. and he would have done a good job.
I think he would have done a good job.
He's a good Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Maybe not as good as Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's hard to see because we don't see him in that. But he'd be a good Peter Parker anyway. But yeah.
But that's a really easy shorthand way to describe his character. It's Peter. He's Peter Parker.
He's Peter Parker.
He's even an orphan. Like.
Yeah, he really is. Oh, Bruno.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And he's one of her best friends, or probably her best friend, but yeah, is a genius and basically has been, like, pseudo-adopted by her family. He comes over for...
Because he's an orphan.
Because, yeah.
he lives by himself above the Quickie Mart.
Yeah, essentially. Where he also works.
Where he also works.
And is, like, literally a genius. And so he's doing these tests, and then at the end, he's the first one who gets to say it in the whole MCU. He says, no, there's something else, Kamala. There's like a mutation.
And then they play the X-Men music. They did.
They did. They did. But this is so interesting because she's not a mutant in the comics.
No. But they wanted to make her a mutant, but they weren't allowed.
Right. So it's kind of like rectifying that in the...
Yeah.
Apparently, again, just going back to how awesome Iman Vellani is, apparently they had to do so many takes because she could just start giggling and, like, was so excited.
And
if
you watch that scene...
Knowing that.
Knowing that, you can see her, like, just barely containing it. It was like the best take that they could get, but she's like almost gonna explode.
She's like, I'm the first one. Which is again a testament to how like she knows what a deal that is, mm-hmm. right? And yeah.
Yeah, she got the script and immediately emailed Kevin Feige in all caps.
And he's like, okay, okay. apparently, after they first met, or they met the first day, and she said that she was so awestruck, she just basically mumbled stuff. So then the next day, she sent a 4-page email apologizing for being so bumbling, but also, I have a lot of questions. And then she emailed him 78 questions, and he only answered 40 of them.
He's slowly working his way to the list.
But, like, just a testament to, like, how awesome she is, right?
Yeah, she is awesome.
Okay, so we have our first mutant in the MCU.
Yeah, apparently.
Which is crazy cool. And I love her response. He says there's something like a mutation, and like you said, she's barely holding it together. And she kind of shrugs it off and says, well, it's just another label. And to kind of be like that snarky tongue-in-cheek little line, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of jumped around a little bit here.
We have.
But, okay, so takeaway right now, Amon Vellani is awesome. We are going to see her again in Ms. Marvels, and the Captain Marvel and her switching places, which is kind of where we're starting jumping off from. We have our first mutant, but I wanted to go back and talk about, we mentioned, like, partition and the cultural things. There's something else that happened. So we did have some flashback, but we also had literal time travel going on in this one.
Yeah, It was hilarious because the time travel started at the end of one episode and we didn't really know what it was. We saw her go back through a portal of some kind and wake up in the train station that looked like it was old-timey train station.
Right. And so
there was speculation, like, is it a dream sequence, a flashback, like, is she watching a memory? But no, it was literal time travel, and I thought it was definitely going to be time travel because there were so many Terminator references.
Nice, good catch.
In that episode, there were so many Terminator references.
There were literally, he says, come with me if you want to live in that episode.
Yeah, and it's a literal Terminator scene because she saves her own grandmother.
Yeah, which is super cool, that little...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's the family has this, like they said, every family has a story about partition and ours is, and then they go through this family story about the grandmother following a trail of stars. And
when
whatever.
She's like 2 years old.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah.
And it's this only memory she has and they're like, oh, this toddler's just making up this thing. But no, it's Kamala Khan, like leading her somewhere and it looks like stars to this little kid. So yeah. So she saves her and it kind of like messes with the rules of MCU time travel a bit.
That's the thing. I mean, it's when it comes to time travel, it's important to have solid rules, but you also can break them in service of the story as long as it kind of makes sense. Like this seems because we've seen time travel in the Avengers movie.
Yes.
And they had the whole talk about how if you do something and it'll break the timeline, and then you kind of went into that in Loki about how okay, there was this one timeline and you can't mess that up or they're gonna prune you, but that was all Kang. So Kang wanted this to happen. I think
the way they're making that
I don't know
it makes sense within Kang's timeline, so it's fine.
Also, he's dead now. Like, I don't know.
Whatever. Also, whenever you're in doubt, you know, it's probably a multiverse thing.
Yeah, exactly. What? I don't know.
So in this story, you have basically this teenage girl who's a massive fan, and she gets this bangle, and she discovers she has power. So that's, like, one plot going on. Through this, she also has, like, because she's a teenager, she's also, like, figuring out her role in her family. And it's also, like, a very traditional immigrant family that she's, like, there's also that kind of...
Yeah, they're in their kind of immigrant bubble. They have all their friends from the mosque, and their neighborhood is very Muslim.
Yep.
And you get to kind of see that culture, like, Pakistani-American neighborhood, and they have all the different... They go to that barbecue street party or whatever,
that was
and
great.
And they introduce all the different groups the Illuminantes.
That was really funny. Who actually are the ones who run everything.
They run everything. They sit around gossiping about everybody, and you got to make sure that they're happy or you're going to have a bad time. And her other high school friend is kind of a born-again Muslim. Yeah. She, like, super embracing it. She wears a hijab at school and is running for the mosque council or whatever.
Which is a huge deal.
As a teenager.
A woman. Oh.
Fuddy-duddy old men running things. And of course, because the Muslim culture is very patriarchal, so the women have to sit off in the back, and their part of the mosque is kind of run down. They have that whole subplot going on. And
right.
Kind of empowering women that way as well, which is cool.
Yeah, no, I really actually like this character.
The side characters in this are all excellent.
They are. They really are. And I'm like, please don't just leave. We would like to see more of you. Okay.
Yeah.
Please show up in Miss Marvel, in the future Miss Marvel properties, whatever those might be.
Yeah, so we got a year to the Marvels. I think that we'll have another season of Ms. Marvel.
I'm hoping so, because right, we kind of left these characters being awesome, and there's more to their stories. The other one is, what's the TikTok girl's name?
Oh, Zoe?
Something like that. But there's also, she's in there, and she's just, like, the popular girl at school.
Yeah, she's introduced as, like, your typical mean girl, and, like,
but there's
Gen
more
Z... Gen Z mean girl type of situation, like super into social media, TikTok and stuff. And
but she's actually the first person who Kamala saves, and she actually kind of like goes to bat for them. You're expecting her to be this mean girl type of thing, but she kind of like tries to protect her a little bit, and then ends up trying to help her at the end. So yeah, there's all these side characters who are just really cool.
And actually protects her secret identity, which is kind of a big deal, because she's like big on getting attention, and this would get her a lot of attention. But she's like, no,
that's her thing.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
There's definitely some
undertones.
Undertones there, especially if you read the comic.
Not that subtle of undertones.
Yeah, because in the comic she's a lesbian.
Yeah,
and so they kind of dance around that a little bit, but
you definitely understand that she's like, there's other stuff in the story here that we're not, and it's not that hidden. It's very much like, this is what's up kind of thing. But I thought that they handled all that very well. But the other thing I want to mention is some of the other things she's struggling with. So she's got her identity, and she's got her family figure in her place, specifically with her mom. Her
very overprotective mom.
Exactly. In fact, the first episode, she's trying to go to Avengers Con, which I thought was hilarious. And we're going to talk about Comic-Con largely next episode.
Yeah.
And she says, but you trust me, right? And mom's like, no, we do not.
But by the end, she does trust her.
Yeah.
We're all better people.
The family is amazing.
Yeah.
Every single member of the family, even the brother, is really cool. But yes, we see that. And then her culture, we see her brother's wedding, which was like, looks like a great time.
A lot of cool traditions. And oh man, the food.
Oh man, I'd gain so much weight just visiting that wedding, I swear. But a lot of cool traditions, and you see Bruno being a part of them. Her friends and family members is just awesome. But we also get that not only is she trying to deal with these like clandestine / djinn / whatever situation and trying to figure out the bangle, but she's also dealing with like politics kind of, because there's the what's their full name, the damage control
DODC
something. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's damage control.
Okay. And they are not great.
Well, yeah, they're a faceless government organization that has to do with superheroes and stuff, but basically the FBI for superheroes.
Yeah. And basically they're hunting her down. So they see when she first gains her power, she is at this Avengers Con, and so they see this, and they decide to target mosques to get her.
Yeah, there's some very problematic politics being highlighted.
Yep.
And yeah, it's like these superhero terrorists, and we know that she's a brown girl, so let's go look at mosques.
Yep. And so they start going in, and they keep saying things like, they'll walk in and they're like, take off your shoes, and they're like, no, and we're gonna like ransack things. So it's like really highlighting, or I don't even know if highlighting, but really like it's including that to be like, yeah, well,
Right.
There is this thing.
And they, the final episode did kind of just throw the one agent under the bus. It was all her fault that they're horrible.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be seeing Damage Control again in She-Hulk, and she works with Damage Control. Yeah. So they can't be, like, just totally horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess.
They have to, like, not be great, but she's the epitome of what's wrong with this. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was interesting. They were kind of, like, the villains in the end.
Yeah.
And we're going to see them more in She-Hulk.
Yeah, but it's not like a straight-up bad guy. It's more like,
I don't know, they're pretty bad.
It's like an organization is more the thing.
They tried to shoot children.
Yeah, they definitely did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they did that, yeah. And I don't think they tried to, though. They literally shot children.
Yeah, it's kind of like in WandaVision, the
Hayward.
The sword guy. Yeah. They're the same. They just shoot children. And
yeah, it's fine. It's the answer. But that's part of the thing. It's like, well, they're not, are they actually children if they have powers or whatever?
Yeah, no, they're still children.
Oh, no, I know that. But that's what they're like. Yeah. Oh, we need to shoot them. It's like, eh. Yeah. What was really cool, though, was the way that then Zoe and others use social media then to, like, they're all coming together to protect, and it's, like, very, you know, protecting the people, not the ones shooting children.
Yeah.
So, yes, we are going to see more of them in She-Hulk, which is, of course, our next property.
I'm excited.
So, overall, if you were going to give this a rating, say, we did this with Obi-Wan, on an, you know, A to F scale, what would you rate this?
So the fifth episode suffered from pacing problems. Yeah. Otherwise, it was, like, almost perfect.
Yeah.
So I think it's an A+ for me.
I would still give it an A+. But yeah, there was some pacing in that one, but it ended so well that I'm like, okay, no, it's fine. I will forgive you that weird pacing thing. Honestly, if you'd have made it 7 episodes,
yeah,
it would have been fine because it just jumped, like.
Or just have the fifth episode all be the time travel and have, excuse me, I still have a little bit of a cough, and then have her jump back to the future for the final episode, and you could have the climax with the clandestine djinn people and Damage Control.
All in the one.
But you jumped around too much in that fifth episode and kind of rushed things, but it was also slow. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, but it's fantastic.
And the style is so much fun.
And I liked all the ties to the MCU, your little hints of the Ten Rings. They even mentioned Kingo because they talk about Bollywood. And,
oh, yeah, that's right.
And Kingo is, of course, Bollywood. Yeah. And all the stuff. And I was just like, yes.
Yeah, that was super fun. Because,
like, I like Moon Knight, and it was a great standalone series. But I was kind of missing some of those threads.
Because we're such nerds.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to be like, hey, it's a thing. Okay, yeah, I'm there for it. And the style is just amazing. And the music is amazing. And just so good.
Yeah.
This is definitely my top 5 of Disney Plus shows we've watched. Might be top 3. I think it's top 3.
Oh, it's top. I think I like it more than Loki.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Because the ending was better.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
I like Loki. I like all the mysteries that were going on. And I didn't hate the ending, but it was still exposition the series.
Yeah.
So.
That is what we called our podcast episode. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It was. It just was. And I'm looking forward to Loki season 2. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not discounting Loki.
No, but I think, it's right up there with WandaVision for me.
Okay, so WandaVision is, of course, my number one. Mm-hmm. And then before I said, and Loki and Moon Knight were my other two. But, this one I'm going to have to think about.
I kind of put Moon Knight in its own category.
Okay, because it's so standalone.
So separate. Mm-hmm. Until we start seeing Moon Knight integrating with Blade or somebody, I don't know.
Which might. Never know. Okay, and anything to add before I have a question for you here? Miss Marvel's awesome, go watch it.
Yeah,
cool. Brandon, I want to know which Miss Marvel character you are.
Oh,
because after all, it is the brown girls from Jersey City who saved the world.
Yeah, I'm not that, but
no. Okay, so which Captain Marvel character is your favorite? Carol Danvers / Captain Marvel, of course. Maria Rambeau, Nick Fury, or Goose?
Yeah. It's Goose.
Of course it is. That's the only right answer in there. Come on now.
Young Nick Fury is pretty cool too, but
it's not Goose. Which of these superpowers would you like to have? Superhuman strength, super speed, shape-shifting, or flight?
Probably flight.
Yeah, I knew that. If you had a chance to attend AvengerCon, also, AvengerCon's awesome, and all the, like, shout-outs to future things is really cool.
All the Easter eggs in AvengerCon are really cool, and the other thing I would like to point out is how press-oriented Scott Lang,
yeah,
Ant-Man, has become. A lot of questions were like, how do all the normal people know all this stuff about, like, Endgame and all these things? Oh, it's because Scott Lang is talking about it and writing books about it and
he has a podcasting book and a podcast about it. It's like Little Me, Big Life or something. Like, that's so great. And Kamala Khan has a YouTube channel where she addresses all of these things as well.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. So anyway, that was super fun, all that stuff.
Yes.
All right, so anyway, if you had a chance to attend AvengerCon, which OG Avenger would you go as? Captain America / Steve Rogers, Iron Man / Tony Stark, Black Widow / Natasha Romanoff, or Thor?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to get super duper into cosplay, I think I would want a 3D printed Iron Man outfit.
Ooh, that'd be
with
fun.
With lights and stuff.
Yeah, you're if you're going to do it, let's do it.
I Thor would be cool, but I do not have the physique for a Thor. And a gender bend Black Widow would be kind of cool, too.
That'd actually be kind of cool, too. I was thinking, a gender-bend Iron Man would be, super fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm gonna go Iron Man for you.
Yep.
Which of these terrible habits of yours would make your mom want to spy on you and microchip you if it was legal?
My mom is too nice for that.
You sneak out of the house to attend fan conventions. You disappear during major festival celebrations. You interrupt your own sibling's wedding to fight the bad guys, or you get lost in strange cities and end up traveling back in time. All of these happen to poor Kamala Khan.
Yeah, she had a bad week.
Yeah, it's true.
It was about a week.
Yeah, about that.
I don't know. It was quick. Maybe a week and a half. They were in Karachi for a few days.
Yeah, they weren't that. Which also looks super cool, by the way.
Yeah, interesting city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so which one of these is your
time travel? My mom would probably want to track the time travel part.
Probably. Which actor is superior, Kingo or Shah Rukh? Oh boy, Shah Rukh Khan.
I'm gonna say Kingo, but so yeah, he's a famous Bollywood fella. The other one.
I like that you use Kingo. Yeah. Which of these do you prefer, the OG Hulk or Big Hulk and Little Hulk are adorable? Big Hulk and Little Hulk is when Kamala's parents say she can go to Avengers Con, she can only go if her dad goes in there, Big Hulk and Little Hulk.
I like Big Hulk and Little Hulk. Yeah.
Absolutely. What is your favorite subject, English, math, history, or science?
Science.
And finally, which of these weapons do you like most? Kamala's bangle, Captain America's shield, Thor or Mighty Thor's Mjolnir, or Doctor Strange's cloak of levitation?
Oh, this is a tough one, but I think it's the cloak of levitation.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Because it's sentient.
It's sentient.
I mean, the hammers also seems to be somewhat sentient. Mew mew.
Yeah, mew mew.
That'd be the runner-up, mm-hmm. but definitely the cloak of levitation.
Good choice, yeah. So you are Kamala's mom.
Oh.
Maniba. You are incredibly loving and protective of your loved ones, just like Maniba.
Oh, okay.
You don't agree?
No.
You thought you were the dad, right, didn't you? Or Bruno.
I would prefer to be Bruno. I thought maybe the science answer would get me Bruno. At least she can cook good.
No, so good. So anyway, that is our show number one this week.
Stay tuned.
Thanks, Elmuel, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and you can also find a link there to our social media accounts, as well as a way to email us.
That's a Strong Bad reference, and no one will understand it, but that's okay.
I don't even understand that. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't, please do. Also, we have a Q&A episode coming up here later this month, I think. So
That stands for questions and answers.
Good job. That I understood. We have some really good questions that have come in, but, you know, there's still time to get yours in. There's some doozies in there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. Just really creative, really cool thinking ones. So feel free to message us either through email or on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, anything like that. So next episode, part two.
I don't have anything clever to say. I'm sorry.
We're going to be catching up all on that news. Until that next adventure, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Coffin while you drink your coffee. Coffee drinking coffin time.
I'm going to put that at the end of the episode. You've seen that song.
Oh, no.